Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to Miracle Manifesting Mondays. My name is Audrey, and I'm here with you tonight, as we are every week, to help you know that you, me, all of us, are the miracles manifesting. And this is so, whether your life feels like it or not, whether you are aware of it or not. It is what's so. Today we have a really interesting show. We have a guest, and we're discussing two main different topics. Before I tell you what they are, we are going to start with our breathing attunement. For those of you who are new, if you're doing something that requires your full attention, please devote your full attention to. If, however, you can allow yourself to relax, then do so. Take off your shoes, loosen anything that's tight. You can be sitting down, even lying down. I recommend that you're not standing up, because you can get very relaxed in the breathing attunement. Take off any watches you may have on, any timepiece, and put it somewhere where it's safe, and follow along to the sound of my voice. Take in a nice, deep, slow breath, breathing golden energy into your heart. Fill up, fill up, fill up, and gently, softly, easily release. Let go. Breathe in ruby red to your third eye. Still with this enlightening, bright, resonant energy. Up, hold, and gently, softly exhale. Let go. Breathe in sea green, a greenish, bluish sea green color into your root chakra. Calmness, ease. Hold and release. Let go. Breathe in sparkling golden, silver, iridescent light into every aspect of your being, into your pores, your bones, your thoughts, your mind, your emotions. Hold and release. Let go. Breathe in love, breathe in light, breathe in miracles, breathe in possibility. Let that acclimate, take it in, and slowly, gently exhale. Let go. Breathe in sparkling laughter, breathe in love. Breathe in the miracle of creation into every aspect of who you are, as though it's a fountain of energy and light, which it is. Take it in and gently, softly exhale. Let go. Continue breathing at your own pace in a relaxed, calm, easy manner. Our affirmation, our intention, our prayer, our words of wisdom for today are: I am filled with the light of creation. The light of creation lives vibrantly within me. Again, I am filled with the light of creation. The light of creation lives vibrantly within me.
one more time. I am filled with the light of creation. The light of creation lives vibrantly in me. Folks, practice these, say them, allow yourself to go in the high space that occurs when you do the breathing. Abraham Hicks calls it the vortex. I call it uplifted energy. The same. Sometimes I call it the zone. This is a time when shifting one's frequency is the name of the game. Anyone who knows me at all well knows that I have been saying for quite a while now that for us humans to flourish on the earth, it is literally required that we uplift our frequency vibration. Living simply at the third dimensional way is not quite going to cut it, because there are other energies happening there that are not necessarily looking to be of the more enlightened, loving, blessing kind. And it is truly the time for a shift. In fact, we are in a shift now, which you may be feeling. Sometimes it can feel challenging. Sometimes it can feel easy. If you're feeling more tired than you normally might, pay attention and rest. This is not the time to, quote unquote, push through. If your body feels like it needs a rest, pay attention. It does. That might be your spirit, your essence, speaking with your body so you can calm down so it, which is connected to your essence, can work. Now, before we come to our guest, I do want to say something that I am personally totally excited about and invite you to an event. My book, What If You Are and Life is Miraculous, an ABC affirmation art coloring book printed on 100% post-consumer recycled paper, is literally being delivered unto my hand on Thursday, August 6th, this week. So if you would like your copy, you certainly can get your copy. We will have an updated website. You'll be seeing it on Facebook. And if you'd like to see me in person, along with the person who is our guest, she is my associate in that event, please, this Saturday, 8-8, now you know I love those numbers, right? Dominion, spirit on the bottom and materiality on the top. That's part of a way to understand 8, flip it on its side, and we have infinity. We're going to be exhibiting at Back to the Future Carnival and Health Fair in West Palm Beach at 473 Elaine Road. And that's from 10 in the morning till 4 in the afternoon. I don't know which booth to tell you that you'll find us, so look around and you will see the book on a table. We're having a simple exhibit. And look around. We are donating 20% of our proceeds to this event. And what this event is, put together by Deborah, her name just went out of my head, Trenchin, is because there is actually a lack of backpacks in Palm Beach, actually in a lot of South Florida. So she put this event together with many exhibitors, and there'll be food there, there'll be a lot of things there, as a way to raise money for backpacks. And we at What If, myself and the wonderful Corinne Harris, who is our guest today, she's an entrepreneur and a very brilliant young lady, will be there. I also would like to invite you to, and I am inviting to you to,
an event my nonprofit is sponsoring. And my nonprofit, Ashe, is also partially sponsoring what we're doing in Palm Beach, as is Goddess Heart. Now, my nonprofit, Ashe, is revving up again, and we're collaborating with Aham Education. And on Saturday, September 3rd, from 5 to 9 p.m., we are doing a Caribbean fundraiser, okay? It is going to be super cool. There will be music. There will be vegetarian food. They listen. We're doing it. There will be, for those of you who like alcohol, there will be that. There will also be fresh fruit drinks, and there will be condom water. And it is on the internet, but you can also call me. That one is from 5 to 9 p.m. The address is 12300. You think I made that up? No. 12300 Northwest 8th Street Implantation. It's $25 in advance, $30 at the door. And that includes the food, which is homemade and delicious, and one comp cocktail. The event on the 8th is free. The books are not, okay? The event is. Now, many of us have noticed that in the news of late is a lot of conversation about sex, gender, orientation, transgender. We even have a TV show on it now. And the one I'm referring to is the one called I Am Jazz, about a young lady. And I have been thinking about this a lot. And I've come up with it's really time to shift our consciousness to yet another level. And for this reason, I invited the wonderful, amazing Corinne Harris, who has done a lot of research into sexuality, to participate in this show with me. So I'm going to say a few of my thoughts and ideas, and then Corinne and I will have both a conversation and an interview. So this is going to be free-flowing, enlightening, and interesting. Hi, Corinne. Welcome to Miracle Manifesting Mondays.
Hi, Audrey. Thank you for having me.
I am pleased. Okay, let's start. Let me think, where shall I start? It was a time when I was growing up that it was fairly easy for most of us to distinguish the sexes. Females were females, males were males. Certainly that's the way I was shown it, and that's the way I was taught. And I didn't even know way back at that point anything even about gay or homosexual or anything like that. I knew that in my grade school and in my high school there were certain people that acted a little differently seemingly than others, which was fine with me, because if they were a good person and they had a nice heart and I can feel that, I liked them. If somebody wasn't, well, let's just say I stepped away from them. And that's the way I've lived my life from early to now. Now we have, I don't even know all the varieties of possibilities of sexuality and gender identification and who's what and who's who. But with this whole situation with transgender, somebody who feels themselves to be one sex while their body displays as another sex. I remember when Christine Jorgensen back in the 50s, I think it was the 50s, had an operation, and that was the first I'd ever heard of that, and I thought, whoa, I didn't know this existed. Now I'm seeing through Caitlin and through this young lady Jazz and any number of other conversations that this may be more common than many of us would think. Do you know anything about that, Corinne, in any of your researches or life journeys?
It is absolutely way more common than people think, especially in other countries. In other countries, they don't have such rigid lines between the sexes. it's more acceptable to come into your sexuality or even question your sexuality at a young age. And people do, and they're accepted. And here in America, we've made it very rigid. You're either male or you're female, and you don't get to choose to be in between and can't be both. And those people are ostracized, and I think that's terrible.
Okay. Do you know folks that have gone through this or that have felt themselves to be transgender?
I don't personally know anyone that is transgender. I have read a lot of stories. I've seen a lot of documentaries about not just transgender, but also asexual individuals or hermaphrodites. And that is the area I feel kind of a chasm in sexuality. People don't think about it. They don't talk about it. But individuals are born every year in every country with an absence of or a mix of both genitalia. So that is always something that parents think is a problem. It's something that's wrong. It's one of many things that people are characterized for. And they immediately have surgery and they get it fixed. But that's not always something that people in other countries would jump to do. They want to give their children a chance to decide, are you actually male? Are you female? Are you both? You can go back and forth. It's okay.
See, what I'm thinking is, I remember years ago, someone at, well, a bunch of clients, had asked me what's permissible in sex. And the line between gay and straight, that was the conversation then. Where is it? And I remember tuning in, so on one level could be, this is my language, super straight, and on the other, super gay. And it's a continuum. And in between can be people that could be both, like bisexual. And that many people, if they didn't feel something was inappropriate or wrong, from wherever they got those thoughts, whether it's from society, the media, a religion, or any other factors, might have had more exploration of that aspect of their being. So what I saw, however many years ago that was when I tuned in, was that sexuality had a bigger range than most people thought. And also, I was asked, again, by any number of clients, what's appropriate in sex? And so I tuned in, and what I saw is so long as the people participating are conscious of what they're doing and in a space of consciousness and an ability to make the decision to do this, which means no kids, no one inebriated, or of a mentality where they simply are unable to choose, people could do what they choose as long as they're honest. That doesn't mean somebody coming on to someone acting like they love them, but really they simply want to get some sex. That's not appropriate. If it's one person having self-sex, if it's two people having a choice to be with each other, if it's even more than two people and they're honest with what they're doing and that's their way of exploring something, according to what I was shown by Spirit, that was actually all right because different people at different times in their lives have different needs for different explorations. Have you seen anything about that or what's your thoughts about that, Lynn?
Absolutely. I mean, really, sexual orientation and sex is there's a spectrum, as you said. There's a range, and the lines of society have come down around certain accepted behaviors between individuals, usually male and female. But history shows us, if we look way back, that there were many different types of relationships, there were many different types of affiliations, and those were not judged, and they were accepted. And I do agree. Sex is more of a way to share yourself and connect with someone. And society really has changed that into something that I don't think it necessarily should be. And it's very demonized in our society, specifically here in the Western civilization.
Well, I know, since I've lived on this planet a little longer than you, things are a lot more open than they once were. I will tell you that.
Absolutely.
Okay, forget about how it was. Some of it once was. And let me continue with what I was saying before. When I was doing that tuning in, what I was shown was some of the highest form of sexuality. I do want to say this, that I was shown at that time when I was tuning in would be between two people who truly love each other, who trust each other, who choose to share themselves physically, mentally, emotionally, spiritually, the whole gamut, who have trust in each other, who are open to what can happen, and that could be the very highest level between two people. And sexuality, in case people don't know, is also a highly spiritual behavior. Whether people know it or not, and this is what I see, written in my book, The Mother's Manual, I don't know how many other books it's written in, that in addition to be an exchange of energy, which clearly there is, when someone has intimacies of a physical nature with another person, they're also connecting, unless the person has truly done clearing exercises, with the energy of everyone else either person has ever had sexual intimacies with. Plus which, what I saw when I tuned in, and I still feel this, by the way, is not only is there an energetic connection, I actually feel there is some level of a physical connection. If we look at quantum physics, we're not as solid as we may think we are, because that's our third-dimensional perception. There's actually, I'm touching my hand now, and it feels solid to me. Nonetheless, there's actually space that we may not be able to perceive with our third-dimensional way of seeing. And you know, and I'm saying you know purposefully now, many people know when they are intimately connected with someone, they can't always tell where they leave off and the other person begins. There is a real merging, which is why, by the way, sexuality is so potent. In addition to the pleasure of completion or orgasm, which most people like a lot, there's also that huge, including me, also that huge connection. Do you know anything about this, or do you have anything to say about that?
Well, it's a really great point. I love quantum physics. And in truth, you know, are we even separate? Many people would say yes, but many people would also say no, because I truly believe we are all the same. We all come from the same place. So sex takes you into a mental place where you can let go. And when you can let go, you can fully merge with someone on a quantum level.
Now, the next stuff I'm going to discuss or bring up may sound a little controversial. However, maybe these conversations have been elsewhere, but I feel it's time to say this. I honestly feel we need to have new words for new concepts. And I'm going to find elegant language to say what I'm going to say. It's interesting that some people are born without any genitalia, and then they can find or feel whatever it is they are, and then with both, which I know is called hermaphrodite. The whole transgender situation, whether a person in a male body feels that really that person is female or a person in a female body feels they're male, I may change this thought, but right now I still feel if somebody is in the midst of, say, transitioning and taking hormones or whatever it is needs to be done, and then chooses for whatever reason, not counting financial, but for whatever reason within themselves, not to have the completion surgery of the genital area
to conform to the sex they feel they are, meaning a male changing to a female would then have the female genitalia through surgery. And a female transitioning to a male would then have male genitalia created through surgery. Okay. I think that's fine, by the way. I think if that's who someone feels they are, I'm thrilled that we actually have the means to do it. I feel that's a real blessing because a person needs to be able to represent as much as possible and live as much as possible who they know or feel themselves to be. For me, I'm feeling and thinking that we need new words for, say, somebody chooses to have hormone therapy up to a point and then maintain the genitalia of the sex they're born while they still consider themselves to be the other sex. So they sort of have both. I have to say, to me, a female has female sexual organs and a male has male sexual organs. And I feel we need another language for somebody that's choosing both, so to speak. Like hormones to be a female so they have breasts and whatever else, but male genitalia, or a male a female who's taking hormones to be a male so they would have the male chest and the hair on the chest, which women do not want hair on their chest, okay? And then still keep, if she was a female transitioning, female genitalia. What do you think of this? Has there been any literature on this?
I don't actually know about literature. I do find, because sexuality is so controversial, when you decide to go in between and from one to the other, it's already a place where you feel singled out. And if you were to come up with a whole other term for that, it may be offensive.
I think it would only be offensive if people choose it to be offensive.
But people choose a lot of things to be offensive.
Yeah, but that's their issue.
Yes, but sexuality in general is offensive if it isn't the regular kind of sexuality.
If I were going out with somebody that was a guy and I discovered if we were going to get intimate, he did not have male organs, there would be a mega conversation. Well, first of all, I wouldn't go out with somebody that wasn't straight up with me, but nonetheless, that wouldn't work. I do feel people do need to identify who they are. I don't mean to get up in front of a group and say, this is what I am. I don't mean that. But because that's not any necessarily someone's business. But in a private relationship, or how someone might be identifying to the world. This is what I'm saying. We, in my opinion, truly need to open our consciousness. I'm going to relate it to race. And that's a big conversation that this country has not really had. To me, it's very simplistic, very simplistic, to say black, white, yellow, or red. We have a lot of mixtures. A lot. A president is biracial. He's usually called black. He may even call himself black. But we all know he has a white mother. To me, up front, that's biracial. And the fact that this society still plays around and has awkwardness is, to me, the immaturity and the ignorance and the fears every which way around. So I'm not pointing finger at one or the other group. I'm the mother of a biracial daughter, okay? And early on, this is personal, early on, I told her who she was. She knew what her father looked like. She knew what I looked like. And I told her she was a blend of both of us. She was white and black. She was black and white. She was gold. She was my golden girl. And that she had the best of both. And that's how she knows herself. Because she is gold, and she is the best of both.
And people who can't see that or refuse to see that, to me, and I taught her this, that's their issue. That's their limitation. So when it comes to that somebody might be hurt, I have to say, if someone can't own who they are and they're going to get hurt because they're a person transitioning with a going from, say, female to male, and they're keeping the female genitalia, that's not a man. Not to me. A man, to me, does not have female genitalia, and a male does not have female. I might change my mind on that, but at this point, I don't think so. And so you think because someone might be hurt, we shouldn't have any other way to have a respectable and respectful and honoring referent?
Well, I'm a huge advocate of respect, but in likeness, if you were to take the same racial terms and then come up with their counterparts in sexual terms, you have black and white and all of the other ones. You have straight and gay and bisexual and transgender. We already have those terms, and they're becoming more widely accepted.
That's true.
Biracial is now becoming more widely accepted.
And
but
mixed race.
You can't just say I'm biracial and know you're a mixture of black and white or a mixture of any other two races. Just like you can't say I'm transgender and know which two you might be affiliating with strongly at that moment. So, like you said, your daughter was raised and affiliates with both.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe President Obama affiliates more with his white mother than he does with his black father, but no one else is going to know because they've labeled him as a black man.
I think he identifies black, because if he identified biracial, I think he'd say something. But I don't know.
Well,
but
we don't,
that's what I think,
exactly.
Because I
we
haven't had a private conversation with him.
And I guess that's kind of the point. Being transgender is quite a private conversation. As a person who affiliates as a lesbian, I have a hard time coming along and saying, well, you know, this is my sexuality, because I know people are going to come to me with mixed reviews. It's not necessarily something people are accepting widely, and that is the same with race. Now, depending on where you are in the country, you may be more widely accepted, but that's true for any stigma.
I don't see these as stigma. I would never use that word. Oh, my God.
Really?
Stigma is, okay, I didn't mean to say that. To me, if someone is gay or straight, or that's not a stigma.
There are
let me say this. Don't ever think that. That, anyone who thinks that, that is their limited belief system. That is their issue.
It is not a stigma. That we're talking about. Though.
Okay, so here's where I come from, and this really is where I come from. I don't pander. I do not pander to lower level mentality. I do not, because if I did, I would never be able to be who I am. It takes huge courage, and it's bit by bit by bit by bit. By bit. The courage I have now to do certain things I did not have when I was younger. I had to build it.
Right, but our country
I don't care.
Has that.
Yes, but that's
it.
Well, then we would all have to be certain political party people who want to take away all the rights of women, all the rights of Planned Parenthood. I do not pander to that.
I agree. We are moving forward. I'm super excited that gay marriage is now legal.
Yay.
But the amount of struggle, and when we're talking about sexuality, there is no other box. You're either male or you're female. So in that sense, yes, we do deserve to have some other options for those people that are transitioning or that identify with both. But I don't know how we would transition into respectful terms for that when we still don't have respectful terms for affiliating with two men or two women, and our society still allows people to be discriminated against. Here in Florida, you can be discriminated against and not hired because of your sexual affiliation. And that is the case in a lot of states. They don't have to say anything, but as soon as they find out, they can disregard, they can fire you.
This is true. Women have been fired for getting pregnant.
Right. So we have a long way to go.
I know that. And I'm someone who's a very forward thinker. I'm somebody who sees a bigger picture. I'm not saying this. I remember on a Dr. Phil show. Hi, Dr. Phil. He had someone on who said that he didn't, this person identified more he. That's why I'm saying he. That he didn't have sexual organs. And that people like that, they were calling them G, V-H-E, wanted a different terminology. So G, G, could be acknowledged and recognized. So to me, I'm not saying we all have to have labels. I don't want a label. Okay, but nonetheless, if our sexuality as a species is either broadening, which it might be, okay, it really might be, or we're becoming more cognizant variety and diversity that has always existed, and jumping ahead to people being more enlightened, it has to start somewhere. And someone has to have the courage. And someone has to have the ability to say, I'm a this, or I'm a that, or I choose to identify as a this or a that. And without any disrespect, in fact, with respect, and not phony respect, but for real, from the heart, acknowledgement. I personally think we might need other language, because I will tell you this, just what I said before. I don't think anyone can be a he without a male sex organ, and no, I don't think anyone can be a she without a female sex organ. There's something else. Not bad, definitely not a stigma, not an insult. See, that's in someone's consciousness, and it's not in mine. Okay? And we're going to talk about the sexism, okay? And if someone is still at the effect of other people's negativity, which is why I work on myself a lot, to be beyond that, and it takes something. So are you saying we should not even consider the possibility of enhancing our language? I've been told in some societies there are a lot of different words to describe these different aspects, not in the English language. I simply think we need to look at that, and that some aspects of the United States and some people in the United States, maybe a lot of people to one degree or another, are juggling this stuff, because to some of us, I'm one of them, this is a relatively new concept to feel our way with, which is why I'm having this conversation. I respect what you're saying, and I still say we need more language. If you felt that the United States or the planet were more open and allowing, that were, I don't even know that I have all the language, gay, straight, bi, transgender, hermaphrodite, the one that's neuter, for lack of a better term, or anything else that might show up that I don't even know might show up, do you not think we might need new language for that if the world were in an open space?
Yes, I would love to live in a world that was absolutely
okay, so I am saying let's start it.
Okay.
That's what I'm saying. The fear that might accompany that, the pioneering people that might start that takes courage. And I'm not saying to do it in front of somebody that is going to be punitive. I'm saying I feel it is soon time to start that conversation, which we are here, just as when President Obama became president, I was praying and asking that we would have a national conversation about race so that we can all embrace each other more fully and totally. And I know when some people, frankly, mostly white, said, oh, we don't have any racial issue in this country anymore, I thought, are you nuts? And that, to me, frankly, was their denial and their inability to actually see and notice. So although I personally dislike a lot the racial inequities and the whole situation with a lot of white police officers hurting black, brown, and beige people, I personally dislike it a lot. The one positive thing about it, not to the people it happened to, but on a bigger level, is it's in people's faces, especially white folks' faces, that this still exists so that we as a society, not only Black Lives Matter, which they do, can make the change in our consciousness, in our laws, in our behavior, and all of us be uplifted. I think we're going to soon need to do something like that about sex, sexuality, gender identification, how you dress, how you speak.
We definitely are, and that's another problem. There are so many hate crimes. There are so many people that are ashamed of who they really are because of their fear.
So that just says to me that we need to have more teaching. That doesn't mean to let the haters win.
Well, no, of course, well, not okay. The haters. Plan.
So I don't. I understand that's an issue. It's like bullying. The fact that now we have social media and YouTube and who knows what the next thing is. You know more about all of that stuff than I know. It both brings it to consciousness and makes it totally important to be dealing with this stuff right up front. I know people writing books about it. I know people writing coloring books about it. Okay, my coloring book, What If, is about something completely different. It's all about enlightenment and shifting brain patterns and having a lot of fun and opening one's heart, soul, and mind, which is what happens, by the way, when you look at What If and do them, whether you color the pictures or not. But it brings it up. Someone or a society that bends to the smaller mindedness and the lower consciousness is a society that's going to defeat itself. Society that's going to go under, it'll be a society like Nazi Germany. It's a society that's doomed. Because what's happening is, whether people know it or not, they're letting fear, anger, rage, pain, domination, rule, and that is the kiss of death to any kind of open society. So I respect what you say, and I do. But if we allow, I have to add this, those people with the little pissant minds to dominate, we're gone. Which is another reason I say, the way I started the show, you can't be living a third-dimensional energy and vibration. We simply can't. We all have to be uplifting our mind, and whether you do it by listening to Abraham Hicks, who I'm on an Abraham Hicks kick right now, and Google Abraham Hicks, and any words that might be like create money without action, or morning appreciation, or going to sleep with peace, and there will be several YouTube videos free of charge that someone can watch and listen to, and their energy will uplift. So it's actually Esther Hicks who's bringing forth the non-physical energy that has called itself Abraham, are doing exactly what I'm speaking. For any of you who have listened to the show with any consistency, you know I've taught a process called the listening process that I learned from the amazing Patricia Hayes when I was studying the psychic spiritual arts over 30 years ago, when my daughter was a little tiny tough. And
This is our job. This is our job. And I'm definitely not saying, I would not walk in front of Ku Klux Klan people with guns and knives in a biracial relationship, which I tend to be, and I have a very multiracial lifestyle, very much so. And I love it, and I've had it since I was my own adult, and I'll always have it because I like it. I wouldn't walk in front of somebody that had a gun and ready to shoot me because of that. I would walk around them. Okay, I would have wisdom with how I do what I do, but I would still do what I do.
I understand that. I just found that sometimes the people you think you know best have some views that you're surprised by, and people are very hurtful. When they're scared, they're hurtful, and I want to move. I want everyone in the audience to move everyone around them and go around this terrible viewpoint. It's poisonous in our society.
We know that.
Yeah.
So what we do with the threat is be aware of it. We don't let it, listen, I'm from New York. I was there during 9/11. I wasn't in the Twin Towers. Actually, I was in the Twin Towers the night before they were crashed. And I was actually there for an assisting agreement with Landmark Education. And everything in me wanted to leave. I was like tense to leave. I even said I was going to leave. And then they said, well, you could leave, but you come back and do your assisting agreement another day, which I did not want to do. So I stayed. And at the time when my assisting agreement was done, I almost ran out of the building. You can't run out of Twin Towers, very high building. Okay. So came down the subway, the elevator, and practically flew onto the subway. And once I was on the train going back to Chelsea, I was able to breathe. I literally thought I was sick. I was dizzy. My stomach hurt. And once I was on the subway, I felt better. And I said, so it wasn't that. What in the heck was it? And it was only the next morning when the planes were literally crashing into the Twin Towers. And I was on a phone with somebody who did not even know it was happening. And he told me it was happening. I thought, oh, my gosh, that's why I felt that way. I know a little bit what it's like to be in an area that has had something awful happen. And I will tell you what happened to my city, and New York is still my city despite that I live in Florida, so I like a little of both. I saw with my own eyes and felt with my own being my city like separate. There were those of us that were doing prayer and were out doing marches to create a peaceful resolution to this. We certainly wanted the perpetrators brought to justice. Absolutely. We did not want a war. We did not want to respond with hate, 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 hate. And I saw other people go into fear and were willing to give up all of their rights and freedom. I saw this, okay? To so-called have, quote-unquote, Big Brother, which is a big mistake in terms of the Orwellian novel, I believe he's the one who wrote it, quote-unquote, protect us, when I personally felt Big Brother was part of creating it. Anyway, and I saw my city split between those of us that we all wanted people brought to justice, everybody that I knew of and saw. Some of us wanted it done peacefully, and legally, and others wanted kill him, 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 which makes people the same as the perpetrator. Okay? They let fear so overtake them, they were willing to give up all their rights. And then we got the Patriot Act, which took away a lot of our rights. So I agree with what you're saying, that there are things to be aware of. Absolutely. There are. That doesn't mean we shouldn't move forward. Okay?
I would like to see us move forward in a very successful manner.
Do you have ideas for how?
I have been thinking, and I really don't, but I wish you did. Because I guess being where we are now, I'm so happy with the changes that we've experienced. It's easy to, you know, forget about some of the really terrifying stories. And the worst part is the ones that you don't hear, I think. But still, the ray of hope for those people are these ideas.
Mm-hmm.
And someone out there knows, someone has an idea.
Mm-hmm. Well, for me, it's like starting new language. It's the fact we have that show on, I will publicize it, on, oh, what's the show? That's the same one that used to do the name of it. It's called I Am Jazz. She's a young lady. I love her family. I don't know these people first, but they seem to have a wonderful family. They are delightful people. They are not like publicity grabbers. I don't care for those shows. I'm not even going to mention them by name because I don't care for them. Okay? And this is on the same station that brought us one of my favorite shows, What Not to Wear. TLC, right. That's what it's on, the Learning Channel. TLC, What Not to Wear. TLC, I Am Jazz. They are exploring this. This young lady is just entering high school or junior high. I mean, they are literally a family exploring this whole situation and what it brings. The fact that we have that, I think is remarkable. Did you know about this?
No, I really don't watch television.
Okay. It's remarkable.
That is remarkable.
That, to me, is the start. I found out some years ago, I did not keep up with my high school class, okay, for any number of reasons. A few people somewhat, and I saw people at reunions and all of that. But I found out some years ago that a boy in the class who I really didn't know well had killed himself, and I just was like, oh, my God, because he was gay that I didn't know, and apparently went through enough harassment that that's what he chose to do. I can't stand that. That's a no. That's a no. I was harassed. I was harassed not because of that, but I was harassed a lot because of some of the way that I was built. I had no idea I was going to say this, but out of my mouth, here it comes. At the age of 17, I had breast reduction surgery. 10 pounds of breast was removed from me, and I am, at the time, barely 5 feet. That's a lot of weight up front for a person that's 5 feet, and at the time, 5 foot and half an inch, now a little less. And I was teased a lot. And that's the action that my family and I took, and then I felt I rejoined the human race. Now, other people didn't do that and like to strut, and I'm still nicely built, by the way, okay? And I don't know what I would have done had I been treated better. Actually, I would have still had the operation because the weight of what was up front was so heavy that I was becoming round-shouldered, and bras were digging grooves into my shoulders, and I literally couldn't run around and walk the way I can now. Some years later, I am more energized now than I was then. So I definitely understand harassment and being picked on, and that's something that needs to be addressed. And I also understand individuals, not like the whole group or people getting together, to stand for something and make a change. Because it needs to be. Do you have anything you want to add or say about that? Because as I notice our time together in this is coming to a close, is there anything you'd like
well,
to say?
Well, I would just like to say that you're absolutely right. As one person, and I know this as myself, you don't feel like you're making that change, but when you set your foot forward and you're firm, you are making a change. And I would love to be part of this change with you, Audrey.
Okay, good. By the way, you can reach Corinne, who is a social media whiz, on Facebook and on Twitter at Corinne1111. That's Corinne1111. Okay? I don't think you want to give any other contacts, but you're well-known on the net, correct?
Yeah.
That's good.
So it's Corinne, C-A-R-R-I-N, 1111. And for me, you can reach me at, where shall I tell you to go? With respect. My phone number is 1-888-757-3223, 1-888-757-3223. And if you like words, it's 1-888-75-P-E-A-C-E. And yes, I do have to say again, I am thrilled. I am filled with appreciation and gratitude. I make a distinction now, a la Abraham Hicks, and for all the people who helped and supported getting What If done, including the Premier Circle funders from my Indiegogo account, and the people who put together the Facebook page, facebook.com/whatifabc. I will be posting on it. There will be a new website. We're working through that. Corinne is helping with that, as is the amazing Yvette Wasserman. And the main site will be audrey.org, A-U-D-R-Y-E.org, which will funnel you to the books and at some point the art and healing and communications and what else do I do? And the water and whatever else Spirit gives me to do. Folks, thank you for listening. Thank you for being. I'm interested in your thoughts and ideas. And certainly I will be writing my blog again. I agree, it has been a while since I've done my blog. If you want to receive my blog or you want to be on, get my newsletter, which again, it's been a while since I've put out, got to start speaking. Definitely leave a message, your name and phone number at the least at 1-888-757-3223. My new email is, I don't think it's functioning yet, but at some point it will be, which is audrey@audrey.org, audrye@audrye.org, and I will add you. If you want to friend me on Facebook, I have a couple of hundred people. Write a note. I don't necessarily want to friend people that I haven't a clue who you are. If you've heard me on this show, write a note with the friend request. I heard your Miracle Manifesting Mondays. I would like to be your friend. Folks, thank you so much. Thank you for being willing to grow. Thank you for growing. Thank you for evolving. Thank you for listening. May your life flourish. May you know that you are filled with the light of source, because we all are. Who are acting contrary to that means they are filled with hurt and pain and rage. It doesn't mean that we allow that. Okay? It means to be aware of that and constantly taking whatever actions need to be so that sort of thing stops happening. The light is always stronger than the dim. Always. So I say, keep lifting yourself. Keep focusing on the life you choose to create. Find yourself folding, acknowledge it, take care of yourself, lift yourself, bless yourself. You deserve it. You're worth it. We all are. May you have a blessed, 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 blessed life, and speak with you next week. Thank you so very much. Bye-bye.